And now, from the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from Township 7 Winery in Langley. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Our province-wide road trip continues with our grape escape in Langley. Today, we're on location at Township 7 Vineyards. And we're going to discover for you a new experience here at the Campbell Valley Wine Route with our host, Mike Raffin. He's the GM at Township 7 Vineyards. Fellow Campbell Valley producers, Brian Ensor, he's the GM for Chambertin, and Norma Walters is the manager and GM at Backyard Vineyards. Welcome to the show. Great to have you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's fun to be in Langley, and Campbell Valley perhaps is not a name that everybody's familiar with. Maybe, Norma, we'll start with you, a little bit of history about that.
For sure. Thank you for visiting us here in the Campbell Valley. We've been around since 2013. So yeah. The founding members of the association is Chambertin, of course, being the oldest in the valley.
Sure.
Township 7, as well as Vista d'Oro and Backyard Vineyards. We then added Glasshouse a few years back. They've been around for about 6 years. So there's five of us here in the valley. So quite a bit that you can visit. 45 minutes from downtown, literally in your backyard.
Yeah.
And lots to do once you visit the winery. So we've got tastings, we've got flights, we do, you know, events, as well as Chambertin's got the Bistro, which of course is, you know, award-winning for their food. And most of us will have some small bites offerings as well.
And Brian, I know originally when Chambertin opened that one of the premises was it was really close to town. And it hasn't moved.
No.
In fact, town's getting closer to you.
Yeah. The idea was with the original owners of Violet's, they wanted somewhere close to the Vancouver marketplace. And I think the association sort of got together and decided, you know, we need to get the word out that you can visit wineries and award-winning wineries, especially in the Lower Mainland. It doesn't require an overnight trip. It's we're less than an hour from Vancouver or parts of it. Traffic on the number one, depending, of course.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, it's a great place to visit in the day, and the more of us in the wineries and the association just gives more people a reason to come.
Yeah. I think you would know that the best at being the oldest of the group, but it is fun to have a group like in a place called the Campbell Valley now in Langley, which gives people a focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the chance to come out and try all the different wines, you can just make a day of it.
Yeah. You know? I know we're going to talk about some of them individually, but how would you describe what's growing here at the moment in the valley?
Well, I can speak for us. We're doing mostly cool climate whites, that type of thing. Here, our host township does the most amazing sparkling wine, and recently, you know, hugely awarded wineries. Backyard Vineyards, again, with Rieslings, with the wines and varieties that we do. We bring in a lot of grapes in the Okanagan as well, of course, ones require more days of...
Sure. Well, lots of variety, though, here.
Absolutely.
Well, I noticed previously, like a couple of months ago when the Governor General Awards came out, there was a lot of high medals awarded to wineries here in the Campbell Valley. So that's something that people are going to pay attention to, and good reason to come out here. Mike, well, of course, you're here from Township 7. You look like a runner, but let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen here in the fall.
Well, now that the pandemic is over, we've started our events back up.
Yeah.
And this year, in September 24th, we have the Campbell Valley Wine Run. And it's a 5 and 10 kilometer run for the Pacific Riding Disabled Abilities Charity.
Yeah.
And you run through the Campbell Valley Regional Park, which are namesake for this area out here. And I'm not in it.
Yeah. So okay,
I'll be at the end with a glass of wine for everybody. But it's we're quite happy to sponsor that with the charity.
Yeah. Well, Township 7 has two properties, so you have experience in the Okanagan, in the Naramata area, and of course down here. How would you describe the difference in what's happening around here in the Campbell Valley?
Well, we're cool climate, and specifically we're growing Chardonnay and Pinot Noir in this cool climate for sparkling. So that's completely different for what we do up in the Okanagan. But down here, you know, my favorite slogan is it's a wine country experience without leaving the city.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't have to get a hotel room and, you know, $2 a liter, it's not so bad. So I think, you know, I'm hoping that this, that we continue to just get great traffic from the city.
Yeah. I think people will be surprised because, of course, you're driving on highways and, you know, fairly busy roads to get here, but it's quite rural when you're actually here in the valley. So it's a nice kind of a break from the big city life and yet so close by. Listen, thanks for all of you coming in. I know we're going to talk at length today on the show about your wineries and what's happening, but it was really great to at least get this introduction. And by the way, for our listeners, you can go to cvwineroute.com for more information about all of the wineries that are working here in the Campbell Valley. That was Mike Raff, and he's the GM at Township 7. Brian Enser's the GM of Chamberton, and Norma Walters, the manager and GM at Backyard Vineyards. Up next, Mary McDermott, she joins us. She's the winemaker here at our host winery, Township 7, as we continue our province-wide grape escape from the Campbell Valley in Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Township 7 Winery in Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
It ain't easy being number one, and it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery, voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Cowichan is one of the province's key regions for winemaking, and they're making some really vibrant Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays, and it's getting better and better every day. How many wineries are there in the Cowichan?
Yeah, that's right. Cowichan is home to 14 wineries. It was designated as an official wine region. This is because of Cowichan's warm Mediterranean-like climate, the rich, fertile soil, and just the passion of the local winemakers. Many of the wineries are family-owned and operated. Cowichan also features a handful of cideries, distilleries, and breweries.
Well, I've been watching the region for some time, and I think for those who don't know it, the explosion of wineries and growth is something to be seen. And of course, for people who want to get up there, they should start planning their tour.
Yeah, I'd recommend spending multiple days in the region and just enjoying the unhurried pace. There are a handful of hotels, plenty of B&Bs and vacation rentals. And if you want to leave the planning to someone else, I would recommend taking a guided winery tour with one of our local tour operators.
A lot of people love to visit wine regions like the Cowichan during the harvest. What major events happen annually that visitors can look forward to?
Well, the annual Cowichan Valley Wine Festival will be happening this year over the month of August. It's a great opportunity to enjoy award-winning wines, experience the vineyards, and meet the winemakers in person. This October, we have the annual Cider Harvest Festival at Marydale Cidery and Distillery. This event features over 15 BC cideries. And they also have the annual Craft Spirit Festival in November, which brings in over 10 of BC's top craft distillers.
Mm. Well, it's one of BC's premier wine and spirit producing regions, and it's fair to say that there are plenty of opportunities for those who like to have the odd drink or two in the Cowichan. Thanks for sharing, Kenzie.
You're very welcome.
Hey, make your plans to visit the Cowichan Valley at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
From the Savon Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from Township 7 Winery in Langley. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout out to Bounce Radio and Salmon Arm and all other 19 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we are on location at Township 7 Vineyards in Langley, and our guest is none other than winemaker Mary McDermott. of Township 7. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always
great,
a pleasure.
Great to be back. In fact, I couldn't wait to see you because I know it's been a couple of months, but you did really well at the 2023 British Columbia Lieutenant Governor's Wine Awards. You got a couple of big awards.
Yeah, it was fantastic recognition, and we're really honored to have won 2 platinum awards, a gold and a couple of silvers across the board for every wine we entered.
Yeah, those platinums, like the 7-star Sirius, the 2015, which I believe is the original release, that is such a great wine. I think we raved about it here when we first had it, but it's nice to see it get recognition.
Yeah, it's really come around with a few years of bottle age. It's really getting recognized as one of the superior sparklings from BC, and I'm so happy to see it.
Which is what we should drive home. You don't have to drink that sparkling wine the moment you buy it, or buy 5 and put 4 away or something like that.
I agree. Absolutely. You're right.
It improves in the bottle.
It does. It does. Just as most of the wines that we make and probably across the province do, everything improves with a little bit of age. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. I must be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Given how old I am. Listen, well, great to catch up with you today, and I know we're going to talk a bit more about sparkling wine. And, in fact, let's start with the whole collection or the overview of what's going on at Township 7 in the sparkling wine program.
Sure. So we have developed a 7-stars brand, and it's also a club to go along with that. And at present point, we have 6 different sparklings in that brand. So the 7-star Sirius is our top of the line, kind of the baseline or the foothold or the, what would I say, the leading edge of it is called the 7-stars Polaris, which is the wine that was first made in 1999. And so that one has carried on.
The foundation, we would say.
The foundation, exactly.
Nice.
Thank you for that. And then we also have a rosé, a 7-stars rosé sparkling. We have a Blanc de Noir called 7-stars Aurora. We have a Riesling sparkling called 7-stars Rigel. And we have Viognier.
Yeah.
7-stars Vega.
Yeah. That's probably a rare wine, sparkling Viognier.
It is. And I think I got some inspiration when I was over in Italy trying some of their different wines to see. So that's kind of where that came from. And we wanted to just do something fun, a little bit off dry, a little bit expressive of that varietal.
Yeah. Well, it's a great time of year to be drinking sparkling wine out of doors. And I'm happy to taste this Polaris. And I'm wondering, this is the 2019 Polaris.
Correct.
So how different is it then from earlier versions? And what have you been doing, or how have you been tweaking it, or what have you found in the program?
Well, I wouldn't be doing any credit to the business if I wasn't trying to learn. So I'm always trying to learn how I can improve it. And I think we just do little tweaks every year after we've learned and see how things improve. So I think we're starting to get a handle on how to make it more creamy in the palate, the texture, the mousse, the tiny bubbles, all of that kind of aspect of it. Obviously, the flavors are really important, but I feel a lot that texture of sparkling wine is really important.
In fact, you were at a conference where someone from Cava commented about the texture of your wine, the creaminess of your wine.
Yeah, it was really impressive. He's like, do you do malolactic fermentation on your sparklings? And I said, no, we like to keep the electricity there within it. So I, and he asked, well, how do you make it so creamy then?
Yeah.
And I said, well, we have a few tricks, of course.
That you weren't sharing with the Spanish.
No. They have a lot of advantages over us.
Yeah. Well, this wine is, it's just gorgeous on the nose. I just love it. The whole presentation of this wine from the nose, the texture and on, it's very Champenois, if I can say that.
Oh,
but I should say it's very BC now, but it's really impressive.
Well, we take the method from Champagne, so
yeah.
If we're doing at least a little bit of something like them, then we're doing great. And then showing off all the fruit characters, which I think we see in the BC sparklings.
Yeah. Our guest is Mary McDermott. She's the winemaker here at Township 7 Vineyards, and we're discussing the sparkling wine program. Well, how about a quick update on the Seven Stars Sirius and what will be released soon, I guess?
Yes, very soon in September, we'll be releasing the 2016 Sirius, yeah. Which is very exciting. It's looking great. So lots of anticipation for that.
So just counting that up, 2016, that means that it's been on its lees now for 7 years?
Or? Well, it was on lees for five.
For five, right.
Been disgorged for two.
Yeah.
So it'll be perfect in September.
When it's released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in addition, we have some updates in the vineyard in Langley. We've been planting. So mm-hmm. we've been planting some Chardonnay last year. And this year we planted some Pinot Noir. So we have lots of baby vines in the vineyard coming along. So that's just going to expand that program.
And the source of grapes for the sparkling wine will be mostly?
Sirius is 100% Langley Estate.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's an accomplishment for Langley to hang their hat on.
Well, I think we're very proud of our Fraser Valley VQA status, mm-hmm. so it's good.
Okay, you brought another wine along that's not sparkling, but it sure looks good. And this is the Reserve?
Reserve
Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah, the 21.
The 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 21 obviously was a interesting and challenging vintage as we had the heat dome and we had reduced yields. So this was the only Sauvignon Blanc we were able to make that year. This is from our own Blue Terrace vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
What we do with this is we barrel ferment it and we work the lees so that we could get a round mouthfeel. And also, it still displays the nice fruit characteristics that are present in Sauvignon Blanc.
I like this style because it's not that aggressive sort of kiwi style. When you drink the wine, you get a much more pleasant sort of aftertaste, not so biting. And there's quite a whack of lime in there at the back end, too. It's a hint, Sancerre. I know we have to stop saying those things, but sometimes we need to benchmark it.
I agree. And for those that are in the know, to me, I would agree the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, which I don't want to downgrade at all, but it has more of that asparagus mm-hmm. character, which we don't see in this one.
Yeah.
We do still see the boxwood and that kind of thing. But, a little bit toned down.
Mm. So as the summer rolls out with the sparkling program, what else is coming out? Is Aurora about to be released as well? Or?
Yeah, Aurora was released for our May 7 Stars Club.
For the club, yeah.
So it is out this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Just came around, actually. So we disgorged it last October, so it's had a little bit of time. And as we said, that time is really necessary, so it's looking interesting now.
Yeah, and the Seven Stars Sparkling Wine Club, one of very few in North America sparkling wine clubs, is how people can get in on the ground floor.
Absolutely. That's what's really necessary, because some of these lots are very, very small and exclusive to only the wine club members. So mm-hmm. it comes out twice a year, May, as we just discussed, in September. And so that's the way to get to buy it.
Well, Mary, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's fun to be out in the Campbell Valley and see the growth of what's going on. You have to be pretty happy with the way things have come together as a region.
Absolutely. The better we all do, the better it is for the region.
Yeah. Great to catch up with you. Well, good luck with the new releases, and it won't be long before you're harvesting again.
Oh, it comes around
that's
quickly.
Let's not rush it, right?
Right. It comes quickly as it is.
That was Mary McDermott. Of course, township7.com is where you can get all the information on the sparkling Wine Club. We're coming to you from Township 7 Vineyards in Langley's Campbell Valley Wine Trail. Up next, Brian Ensor. He's the general manager at Chambertin Estate Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Township 7 Winery in Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tin Horn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tin Horn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Plan your family road trip this summer to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and make sure to mark your calendar and then head for Peach Fest August 9th to 13th. 5 days of free family fun, including parades, live music, entertainment, carnival rides, sports, delicious food, and more. Penticton is the ideal destination for a summer getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for lots more upcoming events at visitpenticton.com.
From the Savon Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from Township 7 Winery in Langley, here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and a shout-out to our home base in Vancouver, BNN 1410, where we passed the transmitter on Highway 99 en route to today's On Location at Township 7 Vineyards in Langley. Our next guest is Brian Enser. He's the GM over at Chambertin. I would say the oldest Fraser Valley winery, 1991. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah. First vintage, 1990, 1991.
Yeah. So. Well, there you go. It's good to be the oldest sometimes. Everybody knows who you are.
Apparently, yeah. We're the OG.
How would you describe, let's do really short, how would you describe Chambertin to people, with the ethos there, what's happening?
We think we're pretty sort of user-friendly. Mm-hmm. We allow people to come to the picnic area, bring their own food. They can get wine by the glass, by the bottle, by flight, just in a relaxed atmosphere, close to the city.
You were growing some interesting grapes right out of the gate, a couple of Madeleine Angevin and Madeleine Sylvaner. Have they survived the 20 years?
Yeah, Madeleine Sylvaner does very, very well for us. The Madeleine Angevin, we're not releasing as a single varietal. We're sort of blending it off into other varieties at the time.
Right. Okay, I know you brought some wines today that we want to talk about that are doing well at the winery. So we'll start with the Sigiriba, which is an unusual grape. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Sigiriba is a cross between a Madeleine Angevin and a Gewurztraminer, sometimes called a spicy Gewurz. It's got some really nice lemon and grapefruit flavors.
Yeah, quite floral.
Yeah.
Little Alsace sort of style.
Yeah,
nose.
It is the first ripened grape off our property.
What would you serve with that, or how do you tell people, how would they serve this wine?
You know, I like it. It's almost off dry, so any type of food with a little spice, capsicum, goes very, very well with it. Short skin contact, 4 to 5 hours. Free run was drained on the lees for about 3 months.
Yeah, pretty fresh wine, young,
fresh.
What it
fruity.
Is, everything that it is in the glass. You don't have to wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it too, and sometimes I like these with, sort of South Asian food, a bit of spice. Mm-hmm. It seems to, there's a touch of sugar that, you know, balances it all off, sort of.
Yeah, with a butter chicken or anything along to Thai food, it goes very well with as well.
You have some interesting ways that people can visit the property. Obviously, they can show up, but if they want something more in depth, they should call ahead for what, special tastings, or how does it work?
Yeah, we do wine seminars, which are a little more involved. Different selection of wines. It's accompanied with a tour of the property, so we'll take them on a little bit of a vineyard tour. Give them a peek into the production facilities. They can visit the barrel cellar. Yeah. Sort of get a feel of how the wine comes from grape to bottle. Yeah. And we'll walk them through that process.
And you have a tasting process they can do themselves, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we introduced sort of a reaction to COVID. We did flights. And basically, we usually have a selection of 8 to 10 wines available. You can pick any 4, get a 2-ounce pour in a flight that you mm-hmm. can take to the picnic area. And we give you either a tasting sheet, or you can scan a QSR code with your phone, and sort of a self-guided tasting tour.
Go at your own speed.
Yeah, and you can pick any 4 that you like to try.
Yeah, and I hear it's not easy to get a table at some points of the day.
In the summertime, yeah, there can be a bit of a wait. We include a 2-hour time limit on it, which I think is adequate time. And usually nobody waits more than 20, 30 minutes to get a
table. Our guest is Brian Enser. He's the GM of Chambertin, one of the original wineries here in the Fraser Valley. How would you characterize the sort of recognition now of the Campbell Valley and the 5 current wineries that are sort of pushing the name out there?
Well, I think, and it's going really, really well. I mean, the recent success of the Lieutenant Governor's Award, the local wine contest, and international competitions, people are really starting to realize that there is award-winning wine made here in the Fraser Valley.
Yeah.
And
it's nearby.
And it's close to home.
Yeah. The next wine I want to talk about, because there was kind of a seminal moment in BC wine earlier this year when Sumac Ridge closed its doors. And, of course, Harry was a big fan of Bacchus. And
yes.
You guys make a lot of Bacchus.
We do.
You're in charge of it now. It's been handed over to you.
Yeah, apparently. We've been selling out the last couple of vintages, but 2022 was a fabulous year for growing in the Fraser Valley. Summer just seemed to last forever. Fruit ripened beautifully, great balance with acidity, and we hope to have about 12,000 cases produced of Bacchus this year.
It's such a delicious summer wine. There's this lovely honey note throughout it that just... Yeah, but it still has the acidity that we all crave. You know, those of us who love wine love acidity in our wine, so the mm-hmm. combination of the honey and the acid, I think, really works well.
Yeah, it's been a fabulous seller for us. When we sold out last year at Christmas time, we had people accusing us of ruining Christmas for them. So we think we'll have enough to get them through this year.
Are all the wines estate grown at Chambertin, or do you bring some fruit from elsewhere?
No, we bring in a lot of varieties that or varietals that require more days of heat and growth light days.
Right.
Our big reds, the Chardonnay and things, predominantly on the property, we do cool climate whites, and the one varietal we release off the property of the red is the Gamay Noir.
Yeah, which we have in front of us.
Yes.
Which has the typical light color of Gamay.
Yeah, it, the winemaker, like I believe I talked about last time, is, they kind of lie to you. They pare it down, the production a bit, to get the quality they want. They tend to narrow the crop down a little bit.
Well, otherwise they'd just be makers. They wouldn't be winemakers.
That's right. So anyway, some of this, 55% of this wine was aged in brand new oak barrels for about 5 months. And the other 45% was in stainless steel, and it was blended back together. I love Gamay Noir. To me, it's just a fabulous wine that can be drunk year-round. I drink mine slightly chilled, 15, 16 degrees Celsius.
Yep.
It's a great. Goes wonderful with the duck confit. And
it's at a great temperature right here. It does have that smoky character. Eh? I guess that's from the barrel, but it's a nice combination with the, Gamay is kind of a juicy fruit Pinot Noir if we described it in the sort of spectrum of grapes. But really nice little wine. I like this wine with chicken or sort of lighter meats, not too heavy meat.
Yeah, I think it's a wine that can be enjoyed every day.
Yeah.
It's just easy drinking, works well with a myriad of foods. And for the people who really want to drink red but don't want anything too heavy,
yeah,
it seems to fit the bill.
And Chambertin Wine Club, can we talk just a bit about that, what people can access there?
Absolutely. We do twice a year. We have a two-case commitment per year. You can get an all-white, an all-red, or a mixed case. And we've put about 350 active members in Dubai twice a year. They get a 15% discount on the case wine, so it's a it's a good deal.
And when they come and see you, do they get a bit of a break? Or
they get 10% off on everything all the time. Yeah.
And lastly, we should talk about the restaurant, because dining there has become really big.
Yeah, the bistro is wonderful. It is quite small, so we do recommend reservations. It's a beautiful place to sit on the patio. I call it a sort of local fare with a French flair. The chef, it's very European influence, but he's using all fresh local ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything better than sitting outside having dinner midsummer out in the valley and just relaxing. And I mean, it's become like a neighborhood restaurant, too.
Yeah, very much so. We have a lot of regulars that come through, and a lot of people make the journey from the city for the special event and the occasion.
Brian, you're living the good life out at Chambertin.
Well, we try. We enjoy it. Win or lose, we have wine to enjoy.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us today and talking a bit more about the Campbell Valley and Chambertin estate wines grown on the property. We tasted the 22 Sigiribi, the 22 Bacchus, and the 22 Gamay Noir. All of the details are at the wine site, chambertinwinery.com. Okay, that was Brian Enser. He's the GM of Chambertin Estate, and we're coming to you from Township 7 Vineyards, Langley. It's our Grape Escape Langley, featuring the Campbell Valley Wine Route. Up next, Liam Birdie is the winemaker at Backyard Vineyards. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Township 7 Winery in Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, do you have any suggestions on what to check off your bucket list before summer ends?
I do, Anthony. I would suggest you experience a show at Thunderbird Show Park. Tickets are value-priced. It's one of North America's premier equestrian facilities, hosting 9 weeks of globally recognized hunter and jumper tournaments per year.
Well, that's interesting. And if watching the equestrian events inspires you, can you ride horses in Langley?
Yes, you definitely can. There's several companies in South Langley that offer trail rides on the many trails within our local parks. Some trails are even dedicated as horse and rider only.
All right. What else would be on your summer bucket list?
I think summer isn't complete without some ice cream. Fort Langley has a variety of shops, and you can wander down to the Fraser River to enjoy. Many of our local farms serve great options, and I recommend trying some goat milk gelato at Milner Valley Farms. And while you're there, you can say hello to their herd of very cute goats.
Well, that's unique. So we have horses and ice cream so far.
Yes, and on the theme of cute animals, two other spots come to mind. Many people are not aware that the incredible conservation and education work that the Greater Vancouver Zoo does. And then just down the street, you have the opportunity to see alpacas at Kensington Prairie Farm, and you can book a tour or the unique opportunity to walk an alpaca.
And Langley has such a variety of local farm options.
We really do. Try visiting a local berry farm. You have the option for U-Pick or to grab flats that are ready to go.
And all these details will be on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
From the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from Township 7 Winery in Langley. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again. Today, we are on location at Township 7 Vineyards in Langley, and our guest is Liam Berti. He's the winemaker at Backyard Vineyards. It's got to be more than a backyard, Liam.
Yeah, much more than a backyard. It's a big, beautiful farm and, a winery.
Kind of a nice name. Does it have a history, Backyard? Like, was it for to be just inviting and, like, out with your friends in the backyard, or...?
Again, this will be from conjecture, but yes, I believe the idea was that it's in the backyard of all the major city centers we have down in the Lower Mainland.
There you go, yeah.
But it was also an attempt to try and break down, you know, what some people might think of as formality, decorum behind wine, or, you know, you hear people say snobby, I don't know about that, but it was to break down that formality, make it more inviting, make it more approachable, and just sort of an inviting atmosphere.
Okay, before we get going, earlier this year, you guys took home a Platinum Award for your 2023, the British Columbia Lieutenant Governor's Wine Awards for your Syrah, your Reserve Syrah 2020. Way to go.
Yeah, thank
you. That's got to feel good.
It does. It feels awesome. And it's like you'll hear winemakers often say you don't always make wines for tasting panels or awards. You make them for customers. But it is a very validating sort of nod of approval just to know you are heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Wine awards get a lot of bad press from people who don't know wine. I'm going to say that outright. But I think for a winery team to win a platinum, like a top award at a big, you know, 500-600 wine winery, that's impressive. Got to lift the team.
It's validating, and that's a great point. I found it very inspiring because, again, it's very easy to get sort of myopic and just get in your cellar mindset where you're not often out talking to the people who consume the wine, taste the wine often. So, again, to get that validation from some big names too, and some people who taste some great wines around the world, is very validating and inspiring.
Okay, we're going to talk about sparkling wine today, a little bit about the viticulture and terroir of, I was going to say the Fraser Valley, but how about the Campbell Valley? Let's start with that. What about growing grapes for sparkling wine here in the Campbell Valley?
It plays to the strength, and again, I'm playing catch up here because there are some people like the Taylors who originally planted the vineyard at Backyard Vineyards, and also people like here at Township where they've got a very well-established sparkling program now where we've got the portfolio within the region. The proof of concept is there that this can be a great place to grow sparkling wine, whether it's traditional method or what you're about to taste and what we've poured you today, which is Method Cuvée Closed Sparkling. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, or some early ripening sort of aromatic whites like Madeleine Angevine, we're trying to play with that and work within the fruit that we think shines best. It's best, it reaches its apogee in a sparkling program, we think.
Yeah. Sparkling wine needs high acid. I think that's a given for those of us who know, but for people who don't know, that's a key to making sparkling wine. You can get it pretty well in BC, almost everywhere in BC, even here in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah, and the strength of the Lower Mainland for me is, like, you'll hear people often say or parrot, you know, similar latitude to Champagne, very different soil types though, right? So it's like we don't have the upside of the soil type that they have in Champagne, for example. But here, knowing the battle that you have to fight, which is the getting the vine fruit balance into balance, because the vines just want to express in vegetative growth here, getting the fruit to express and trying to bring those vines into balance, you can really get them to hold that acid, but also get the fruit and the flavors ripe
that
enough.
You need, yeah.
And again, regardless of method of sparkling wine you choose to make.
Yeah. Okay. Quick masterclass. Two methods, two wines. The method, Cuvée Closed, and then the traditional method. We have both wines here. What's the first one, the Cuvée Closed?
So the method Cuvée Closed, for Backyard Vineyards, it's a new SKU. And again, the idea behind it for us was that, you know, up to 20% of our portfolio in any given vintage is from the Fraser Valley. So typically, we would have used a lot of those early ripening whites that we grow in the Fraser Valley for some blends. So like Madeleine Angevine, for example.
Right.
You know, we played around and experimented with using some small samples in sparkling, but we're like, you know what, why don't we use that in a sparkling wine? We didn't think it would reach, again, its apogee in the traditional method, which we'll get to in a minute. So we thought, why not try the method cuvée close? So redoing the fermentation, the second fermentation in a pressurized tank, and then being able to filter it and bottle it directly from there. So there's no real extended tirage time in bottle, no lees contact. And the point for me with that is Madeleine Angevine, it's got some challenges, especially in the valley. It's susceptible to rot if you let it go too late. But to your point, to really keep that acid in there, it helps us because we get that early pick, avoid that pressure, and then we can put it into a sparkling program where it just makes it bright, fresh, and then more aromatic and fruity and primary.
Now, I'm talking off the top of my head, but I suggest that the wine is slightly softer, the bubbles slightly larger. I mean, they're not big bubbles, but just a softer, gentler style. I mean, people might know Prosecco. They may know the Charmat method. We're talking about that style of wine.
Correct, yeah. And again, for me, it's like you're trying to capture the primary notes, the fruitiness to it. The real charm is in that youthful primariness. It's not out of the extended aging and the autolytic aging. Yeah. You want that. You know, it's not, you don't have to write a dissertation on this. There's not people around the world that are going to, you know.
Yeah, buy it, drink it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The other method, which has long been known, the method Champenoise, or the same method as the Champagne people use, we now call it method traditionnel, I believe, in BC. How do you explain that?
So for the quick rundown on it is you have a primary fermentation the same way you would make a white wine.
Right.
You have a base wine, but that wine is only going to have up to 10.5% alcohol, 10% alcohol, somewhere in that range.
That's a still wine, and it's super acidic.
It'll peel the enamel off your teeth. It's like book an appointment with your dentist like straight away after you taste the Vinclair.
Yeah,
you're then recreating. You're forcing the second fermentation in the very bottle that you're drinking it from. And then there are stipulations depends what region you are in, but like for VQA, you have to have the wine legally on tirage, on the lees in that bottle for non-vintage for 9 months, and then a year plus for vintage dated traditional method sparkling. And through that process, you're building a lot of complexity, a lot of texture in that bottle. And it's a really magical process. It's really like a triumph of sort of technique that's been passed down for centuries now.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just something that, again, the benefit for us is we get to piggyback off those techniques and use them. But you're really getting two very different styles of wine, and you're seeing Fraser Valley fruit through the lenses of two very different methods.
Blanc de Noir, white from red. So what's happening here with the grape?
So this is 100% Pinot Noir from the Backyard Vineyards home farm.
Okay, so that's the red, that's the noir.
Correct, yeah. And so there's a lot of nuance to it, but the champagne pressing cycles are very detailed, very delicate, maybe more so, I would actually say definitely more so than a table wine.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that, especially when you're making a Blanc de Noir, you got to be very careful about extraction of phenols and color if you're using a red grape. Pinot Noir naturally wants to express its color, so you can be very delicate with whole cluster pressing, and then making the press cuts very early.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, again, it's constant tasting at the press tray.
So there's no skin contact. There's no color. It's the white. It's the Blanc.
Correct.
Blanc de Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Backyard Vineyards. Can we go there? Can we visit? What happens when we get there? Who will greet us? How does it work?
You can always come to Backyard Vineyards, so 7 days a week. And it's, again, going back to the sort of idea of the branding, it's very, we like many of the wineries in the Fraser Valley, we want to make it an inviting atmosphere. So there's there's not a lot of formality or decorum behind it. But the point of that is we have a gazebo, we have a picnic hill, you can bring your own food. We do have an amazing tasting room staff who are obviously there year-round. So we're not seasonal. We have people that have been there for years and really champion the product, and they will help guide you through a tasting, but they'll also help you steward your experience if you just want to have an afternoon on the picnic hill.
Mm-hmm. So that's an easy go. And what about buying the wines? Can you buy them online or on-site, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So something like the Blanc de Noir, because it's exclusive to that vineyard production, we keep that in-house. But all the other wines we make, you can buy them at the winery, online via our website.
Yeah.
Or like Save-On Foods has been a great partner with us. They carry a lot of our wines in their portfolio, and then some private stores and on-premise as well.
Yeah. Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm always enjoying myself. I love it.
Well, you were in the radio business, were you not?
I was.
Yeah. And now you're in the wine business.
Yeah. And then,
I was in the wine business. Now I'm in the radio business. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it seems like a long time ago. And I moved out to BC in 2016. And so prior to that, I was working in both print, radio, and then television journalism back in Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Liam, always a great pleasure to catch up with you. Today we tasted the Method Cuvée Close Sparkling and the Sparkling Blanc de Noir, of course, made in the Champenoise method. Two lovely wines. Very different in style and worth tasting side by side if you want to learn something about sparkling wine.
Absolutely.
Great to see you. That was Liam Berti. He's the winemaker at Backyard Vineyards. We're coming to you from Township 7 Vineyards in Langley. Up next, Aaron Krebdush. He's the Executive Director of Tourism Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Township 7 Winery in Langley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, an incredible place for a romantic escape this summer. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and sample the newest releases. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. After dinner, take a stroll along one of the beaches and enjoy the lake views. It's the ideal destination for a summer getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com. Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
From the Savon Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from Township 7 Winery in Langley. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across the British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're coming to you from Township 7 Vineyards in Langley. We've been talking about a lot today about the Campbell Valley, and our guest is Aaron Krebdush. She's the Executive Director of Tourism Langley. Aaron, great to see you. Welcome
nice
back.
Nice to see you again. Thank you.
Yeah, you're a busy person.
It has been busy.
Well, it's nice to be in summertime, and you got a lot of events happening, non-wine events, could we say, perhaps, and I'm interested because I drove by a pretty fancy-looking stadium on the way here.
Yes, there's been some renovations at the Langley Event Center.
Yeah, what's going on there?
So they just started in April, but it's the Vancouver FC. And so they play in the Canadian Premier League.
Okay.
And, yeah, so high-class soccer.
That's big-time soccer.
Yeah, high-class soccer. So new stands for the 6, games.
6,500 people or person stadium?
Yeah.
Are they all drinking wine there?
I'm not so sure if they're drinking wine, but they can drink wine before,
they can,
after.
They can drink craft beer or cider.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Yeah, and basketball too now.
And basketball. So the Vancouver Bandits, they had their first season last year and went really well. So they play within the Langley Event Center as well, and they're in the Canadian Elite Basketball League. And they have something actually really cool coming up in August, which is the championships. So it's August 11th to 13th, and the Vancouver Bandits were asked to host it. And it's beyond basketball. And so obviously at the end of the day, there's a trophy to be played for. But surrounding that, they've got fashion events. They've got youth basketball, concerts. So it will be kind of a big three-day party at the event center.
It's Langley. Horses are big, too.
Horses are big.
And we shouldn't forget them.
No. Yeah. A lot of people forget that we have Thunderbird Show Park, and it's world-class show jumping. So their season runs into August. really fun. I think people are surprised. It's, you know, the tickets are not expensive. It's a great, you know, come and do some wine touring and then go watch some horse jumping.
When I first came here, I had a friend who worked at the Langley Cake. Wasn't it beside the equestrian jumping? And he was always talking about the horse people, and I was amazed by that.
That is the same family that have Thunderbird Show Park. I know, I grew up in Langley, and I have memories of having dinner at the Cake and looking down and watching the horses practice.
Yeah. Our guest is Erin Krebs. She's the executive director in Tourism Langley. We're talking about all things possible to entertain you out here in Langley and, of course, in the Campbell Valley where the wineries are. Let's look later into the year. What about the markets now? They must be firing up now with all everything growing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got the farmers markets, but something, again, that was fairly new in the last couple of years in Fort Langley, on Friday nights, you can go to the Friday night market. And it, again, there's vendors, there is libations, they have picnic tables so you can just sit and meet friends, food trucks and games, live music. They always have a musician every night. It's just a really nice way to spend a Friday evening.
It sounds like a party, actually.
Lots of parties. Lots of little parties in Langley. Yeah, under the string lights. It's a good night.
And there's still a market there, too. So you can actually buy local produce.
A lot of the businesses that you would shop at during the day in Fort Langley, they have set up so jewelers and different things. So
I don't want to put you on the spot, but what are people growing in Langley? What grows in Langley that's out there in the fields? You know, when people drive by and they wonder what it is?
Yep. So beyond grapes, blueberries are really big in the summer.
Yeah.
Strawberries, raspberries.
Wow.
All
the good stuff.
All of the good stuff.
Okay. Now, year-round, we have been talking wine, but cider, beer tastings, farm gates, all of this is exploding across Langley.
Yeah, it really is.
And you've got, I don't think I've ever asked you about tours, like people who actually tour to go to these facilities. Yep. Does that exist here?
It does. And you know what? And two particular ones come into mind. So let's start. There's a company called Beyond Bubbles, a business that started pre-COVID, but she has grown her business. Mm-hmm. And you can hop into her cute little van and she'll either have pre-done tours that you can take throughout the Fraser Valley and Langley of the different wineries, or you can even mix in a cidery or a brewery or whatever you like. And people speak very highly, so that's Beyond Bubbles. And then also in the last little while, there's something called Chew on This Tasty Tours. So they used to be a guided tour, started in Fort Langley, and you would go along and you would get to like taste different things that there were, and you got to sort of meet the local business owners. COVID came around and it's now self-guided. So it's like she calls it a magical mystery tour.
You I like that.
Get your itinerary about a couple of days before and then a suggested timeline. And again, you just kind of, you pick different ones that you can go and it's great. People love to meet the business owners and just get a neat sampling. So it's a bit of a unique experience. There's walking ones and driving ones.
That sounds really good to me. Our guest is Erin Krebs. She's the executive director of Tourism Langley. Erin, the fall will be here before we know it. I don't want to rush the summer, but one of my favorite events that I haven't been to. Does that sound like goofy to say that? But Cruise In, can you explain this event? Because I see something there I just love.
Okay. So Cruise In, it is in Aldergrove on the Fraser Highway.
Yeah.
And they shut down a big section of the road.
This is September 9th.
Yes. Yeah. And you are bringing in more cars than your eye can see. And so it's all different classic cars that are lined up on the street. Yeah. And then people just come and the owners are there and, of course, love to talk about their cars.
Yeah.
You can learn about them. And there's different little events that are going on there. They sometimes bring in In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger. That's what caught my eye. The best.
Yeah. I think the lineups are like almost longer than
the cars or the burgers.
You have to line up early for those tickets. That's the inside information, is you need to get there early for an In-N-Out Burger. But the cars are incredible, just of all eras, and people, they're so passionate about them and love to talk about it. Yeah.
A couple other events that are in the fall, like the one that I saw, I flew home the other day and all I could see were cranberries.
When
I flew over Vancouver, the east side of Vancouver.
Yeah, so the Cranberry Festival, that's been a long time fall event in Fort Langley.
Well, what do people do at a Cranberry Festival?
Cranberry Festival, well, you buy cranberries for they have fresh cranberries that you are ready to do for your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
But then there's all sorts of other vendors that come in as well, again, and you can shop, and it's just a great kind of day to spend in Fort Langley and celebrate harvest.
One other event. Well, we talked about it last year. This is year two now for you call it the powwow.
Powwow, yeah. So it's the Stalu Powwow.
Okay.
They had their first event last fall, and it went really well. I was really sad I had to miss it, but I caught it on TV, and it's beautiful. So a powwow is an indigenous gathering of dance, song, family, celebration. Mm-hmm. And so there's artisans, and there's dancers, and drummers, and they invite the public to come in and see it all, and it's incredible.
Wow. You have your hands full.
Yeah.
Langley's exploding. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's
just driving here. So many homes and condos and people out here. If you haven't been out in a while, folks, you need to come out and check it out. Everything you could imagine is happening in Langley.
It is very true. Yeah. Highly recommend it. You need more than a day to come and see everything. Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Aaron.
Real pleasure catching up. Nice to see you.
Keep on working. You're training employees all the time, I think.
Yes, exactly.
That's it for today's show, folks. Special thanks to all of our guests, starting with our host, Township 7 Vineyards in Langley, and to our production team, including on-site producer Mike Whittingham, our studio producer, Dwayne Bishop, assignment producer, Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. Now, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and for all of us at the show, thanks for joining us. We're going to be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network to bring in the BC Long Weekend Day on the Naramata Bench. Enjoy your weekend and the week ahead. That's it for now.
That's it for today's show from Township 7 Winery in Langley. Find the wines we talked about today online at township7.com.